family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I tell you, sometimes we read each other's minds, you know, and I'm talking about me and Julius Dudix. So I had come across an article last week. I'm totally serious, Julius. It's kind of crazy. It scares me sometimes. So last week I was reading an article. This was out of NPR, and it talks about, it's in the health section, how to give kids autonomy. And it's called Anxious Generation, apparently. An author kind of dubbed that to describe children of today's world and really looks at the anxious generation after the pandemic. But, you know, really looking at the ages of 6 to 13. Like where kids are right now, if they're between that age, he calls them the anxious generation. And we know big reasons, especially in the last few years, why children have been dealing with anxiety, especially since the pandemic and a lot of shifting things happening in our world with politics and the so much information at a very fast pace, and schedules are busier than ever before. Kids are inundated with work. I mean, there's just a lot going on. There's a very good reason for why kids are dealing with anxiety. But here's what we have to figure out. How do we deal with that in a healthy way? Not just the kids, but even the adults who probably also are dealing with a tad of anxiety. So Julius is here to tackle that this morning. And it was just great timing, Julius, because I just read this article a few days ago.
Yeah, and I am holding the article in my hand. Maybe your listeners don't know, but you do a lot of prep work.
Well,
you do a lot of research.
We try. We do the best we can.
Before you have somebody on, you really dive into it and you kind of get different perspectives. And this is a really tough one because how do you give your kid autonomy? The anxious generation, And really the bottom line question is there's a difference between independence and neglect.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, giving kids independence can't be taken as neglect. But then what is neglect and what is independence? Because I always, you know, tell my young couples especially, you want your child to be on a clear pathway toward independence. That's the goal of every parent, to be autonomous, to help your child be a stable individual. And with mental health, Melissa, the other issue is you can't see you can see a broken bone, you can see a cast, but you can't see somebody mentally impaired by anxiety.
No kidding.
So real for so many.
Mm-hmm.
So, difference between neglect versus independence is a tough question for a lot of parents.
Right. And I think sometimes, you know, people can take an article like that probably too far, right, Julius? I mean, when you hear about giving your kids freedom, independence, exactly what you're saying, it doesn't mean, we were just having this conversation with our social media consultant a couple minutes ago. It doesn't mean, here's your phone, Junior, download what you want. It's in your hands. Good luck, Godspeed. I'm not checking on it. I mean, there's a middle ground there, because that is neglecting. But you are giving them a sense of independence. Here's your phone. I expect you to call me if something's happening. You know, you're putting parameters in place. I don't think it's so all or nothing is what it sounds like.
Right. But it's so important to get them involved. I think get the child involved in a relational building with the mom or the dad, because relationships will carry you a lot further in life. Rules without relationship, you know, there's always going to be rebellion. So it's important to have that established. But then you strive for that, because there's that window of opportunity between 0 and 12, 13, 14. And if you don't jump through it, by the time the kids are 13, 14, 15, they're on their own. They're thinking differently. And if they're running with the wrong crowd, you know, God forbid, with anxiety, my biggest fear is that kids end up running with the wrong people and almost acting out by alcohol, drugs, you know, the whole nine yards, that kind of thing.
How much, Julius, of a child's anxiety stems from the household they're brought up in, seeing mom and dad who are really anxious, or living in an environment where you feel the tension in the house, or the expectations to do well, whatever that is? How much of the anxiety our children feel comes from us, the adults?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all values are caught, not taught. We've said that time and time again. But I think anxiety, even depression, can be caught and not taught because it's that environmental stimulus that kids see day after day after day. Explosive personality disorder. You know, when I deal with kids, people who are angry, where'd that anger come from? Well, my dad and, you know, I saw him blow up and he tried to control his environment by blowing up. So a lot of anxiety is. Yes, an environmental factor, but there, I'm sure some of it is heredity too. But you can train yourself to be an anxious person, or you can train yourself to be a little bit more calm and more in control. But that word control is under the foundation of why people feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all an issue of I am out of control and
right.
I want to be in control.
That's so true. Yeah, but it sounds like we have our counselor, Julius Dudix, here. It sounds like, Julius, if we don't get real with ourselves, how can we expect mm-hmm. our kids to be able to, in a healthy way, address their anxiety?
That's why it's so important for parents to get a handle on it themselves. And then if a mom or dad is feeling anxious, it's okay for my 12-year-old to know that mommy's or daddy's going to talk to somebody to help them work out some of these feelings.
Mm.
We live in a generation where, you know, or people have been raised where the exterior, and then the interior, you're dying, but you haven't been taught to tell yourself the truth and speak the truth to others about how you're feeling. And when you don't get in touch with your emotional feelings, you know, you could be a ticking time bomb.
I just want to reiterate to my listeners that I try to practice what I preach. So if I have a counselor on the show and they're giving advice, I try to live by that advice. I'm not going to just tell you to do it. That's hypocritical. And I want to share this example because we're talking about anxiety right now, and we're talking about identifying anxiety in yourself, especially if you have children and they are showing anxiousness. I want to share this quick story with you, Julius. So Julius has been in my life for years now, and he's actually worked with us personally and certainly here on the show. And something I've learned from Julius is the weight of being vulnerable with your kids. Certainly, you don't want to overexpose them, absolutely, and I think you know what's appropriate or not with your kids, but being honest, not just with yourself and with your spouse and with other adults in those relationships, but getting honest with your kids. We had a situation, actually, over the weekend, and I thought about you, but it connects perfectly to this topic. So we find out a month or two ago that my son lacks confidence in school. And so we've been working on this with his OT, you know, all that. And we find out that Chase has probably some undiagnosed anxiety stuff he's dealing with. All right, what kid doesn't? Fine. So how do you actively work with that? So we have a situation. We're driving home from church Sunday, and I get in the car, and my husband looks at me, and he goes, Chase has something to tell us. I said, what's up, Chase? And he said, Mom, I took his video game console, his Switch is what it's called. I took it to Nona and Pops without asking you and Dad. And I said, well, why'd you do that? He said, because I knew you would say no. And so I just took it. I didn't tell you. I put it in my backpack and I brought it with me. And I could feel my son's anxiety literally. I mean, it was profusely coming out of him. He was so anxious about lying and taking it and all that. And you could feel this confession didn't feel better. It's not, you know, when you get a weight off your shoulders, you're like, oh, I feel so much better. This kid was not feeling better. He was ready to take himself to prison. So I sat and I thought about your words of getting honest with your kid. And I turned to him and I said, you know, I want to tell you how proud I am of you of being honest about that. Can I tell you, Chase, when I was a kid, I did the same things you did. All of a sudden, what do you mean, Mom? What do you did that? Absolutely, I did. I absolutely did. I can remember as a kid, I used to go downstairs and sneak into the big trunk downstairs where, you know, my mom, where Nona would hide our gifts, and I would sneak and I would look and I would lie about it. I'd sneak and all that. I said, I used to do that all the time. I said, but at one point, you know, you learn that there's a reason Mom and Dad tell you not to do something, and it's for your well-being. And then my husband shares, yeah, well, I can remember in college not telling Mom about this when we were dating. And all of a sudden, we're having this open conversation, and the anxiety went away. It was unbelievable. And I'm not saying that that's a cure, but I will say, you know, getting honest with yourself about your own anxiety and your own, you know, falling short, can also, I think, has been very effective in helping our son who deals with this. So I don't know if you agree, but I mean, that's something I learned from you. So
that's
I hope you agree.
Melissa. And, you know, I 110%, because, you know, one of the best ways a parent can deal with an anxious child is to remain calm. And not you know, if you feel yourself about to blow, take a break, separate, and then speak the truth to your child, like what you did. You know, I had the same issue. Kids are going to feel anxiety, and they have to be taught that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have an anxiety attack where it builds up over time, or even a panic attack. And the difference between a panic and anxiety is a panic attack happens unexpectedly and suddenly. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel that, but your normal bodily symptoms, the palpitating heart, the hands and so forth, and I can't breathe. You know, you're going to be okay. You've got to remind yourself you're going to be okay. These are my body's just reacting to the anxiousness that I'm feeling, and there are a lot of things you can do to help yourself with that. And by that I mean just, you know, you can take a drink of water, take a sip of water, or you can just slow yourself down, calm yourself down. You can ask yourself, what's the source? Why am I feeling out of control? And then you've got to realize, too, that, hey, we live in a messed up world. And if I'm thinking too much about school shootings, I'm going to be anxious. Mm-hmm. You can use humor. You know, a laugh goes a long way with people. You've got to really identify what triggers your anxiety. Because if you can find that, if it's, you know, work, family, school, a person, then you can either avoid it, confront it, or compartmentalize it. But in each of those scenarios, you're going to have to eventually deal with it. So I'm a huge advocate of running toward Goliath and not running away from Goliath. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, hey, there's a God who loves you, and he can give you the power and the strength to be able to deal with the normal anxiety that we all face. It's just normal. We carry it around, and some people carry it better than others.
Mm.
But the best thing you can do, Melissa, you're talking about it, and you're letting your child know, and perhaps maybe at some point Chase is going to be able to, you know, treat his kids that way. Because most parents feel out of control and helpless and hopeless with their teenagers. I get that. I understand that. And that's why they're so frustrated, angry, anxious sometimes with the kids, because you can't control. Sometimes a 16, 17-year-old, it's so hard. It is really difficult.
Yeah. No, it really is. And there's no manual on how to you know, handle any kid. Not one kid came with a manual. It's crazy. I checked so many times after I had Chase, but it was nowhere. It's wild. But and I think the other thing too, Julius, I wasn't sure what you thought about this, but we talk about sometimes bad influences, and I'm wondering if people's anxiety is more out of control based on the people they are around. So even as adults, you know, we were talking about how kids' anxiety is impacted by the environment, their parents, their homes, you know, what they grow up in. But what about the friends we choose, or the way our relationships that were one way when we were children, they've changed as we've gotten older, siblings, parents, cousins, again, friends, anybody, recognizing that, could that be something else that you need to dig deep and see if it's even healthy to be with
Absolutely.
This person or these people?
Invite Chase's friends over. Make sure you know who they are. Make sure you know who is his network, who are his go-to people, and are they kind people? Or are they kids that are, you know, pretty much selfish, self-centered, and so forth? And then you can use that whole conversation with Chase about, well, you know, what Johnny did or what Mary did, it really isn't appropriate for our family, kind of thing. But you always want to come back to the point of knowing who your kids are associating with, because your friend's your future in terms of behaviors. You know, if you hang around anxious people, you're probably going to be anxious. You hang around negative people, you're going to be negative. You hang around people who are positive, you know, it all rubs off. But you always
I was going to say, you also should probably practice what you preach. If you're going to check your kids and who they hang out with, your kids are going to see who you hang out with too.
Yeah, you know? you always want to be the kind of person you want your kids to be. You want to be the kind of person that I want my kids to be. And again, if you do that, then your kids are going to grow up okay. But if you're having issues yourself, it's important for you to get help. It's important for you to acknowledge them and to identify, you know, why am I so anxious all the time, and what triggers it, and, you know, what do I need to do? And, you know, we've talked about mental health before as being sleep, appetite, exercise, routine, water consumption. Those are all elements of mental health. If you're not sleeping well, if these anxious thoughts are continuing to bombard you, you've got to get a hold of your thinking so you feel better and behave better. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing for so many. But you've got to acknowledge it first, like we've always said.
Yeah, it's very true. And I do want people to know, if you want to talk to Julius further about this, you want to connect with him, you can always go to his website, which is njcc.online, which stands for Non-Judgmental Christian Counseling, njcc.online. And you can call the office at 203-243-7714. Julius, I always appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You've done a good job. You got it right, Melissa.
I told you, I do my research. I mean, it took only, like, what, 4 years to finally memorize your website and your phone? It's fine.
You know what? I have a little thing on my computer. I have every topic we've talked about since 2021, I think.
Wow.
Started in October.
That's amazing.
So it's fun. It's what we're called to do. So we just do it and we have fun doing it.
I love it. Thanks, Julius. You're the best.
All right. We will talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Julius Dudek, our morning show counselor on WICC.